the calling that God has on my life. Has I always been lived up to it? No, but I've come to realize one thing. If my preaching slacked off, if the anointing slacked off, it wasn't because God slacked off. It's because I slacked off in my prayer and what I needed to do. Felt led to go this direction. Glad that the Word of God can speak to us. You know, just had a simple thought this morning, and actually being in Sunday school kind of confirmed it. So I'm hoping that the Lord will meet us here, because I've always prayed, Lord, if you don't meet us here, it's going to be in vain. If you don't anoint me, if I don't feel that anointing fall down, that anointing doesn't fall from heaven. I know your word never returns void, God, and that word can go and touch somebody's heart. But Lord, I need that anointing. Can't do it without him. Been up here and done it without him. It ain't want a pretty picture. You know, old pastor says, feel like you wish the stage would just open up like a trap door and just swallow you right in there. And I've been there before. But thankful enough that I've also been in there when the anointings fail easy and just fail. And you just feel like you're walking on cloud nine. And I love it. Thankful tonight for the opportunity. I know the pastor's off on vacation, and Brother Shane did a wonderful job this morning. Enjoyed that. Enjoyed talking about the Word of God and the bride. Brother Shane's probably going to think I took his Sunday school lesson this morning when I read my title. When he read the scripture, I said, man. I said, you're going to think I took it right there from that, but I didn't. So if you would, turn with me through the book of Matthew, chapter 5. And we're going to read a couple verses of scripture. And I just want to say that anything I say tonight, I'm not trying to demeanor anybody down. If something comes across, the thing I want to do is challenge us as a church. So if something's said, remember, anybody that knows me knows I'm not going to say anything to try to hurt anybody's feelings, because I'm not like that, unless the Lord leads me. And if God's in it, you know, things will be done the right way. But anything that's said tonight, I don't want to anybody think I'm directing it to anybody, but we just want to preach what the Lord gave us and want God to meet us here. Matthew chapter 5, starting at verse 13. He said, ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and be trodden under the foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set upon a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And with the Lord's help tonight, I'm going to ask Brother Shane if he would to stand and pray over the preaching of God's word. But with the Lord's help tonight, I want to preach on a dim light and flavorless salt. Jesus, we ask you, God, help us tonight, God. Jesus, we ask you, God, we need you to meet us here. Help me, Lord, God, to preach with that fire from on high. Jesus, we love you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Yeah, when Brother Shane got up this morning and told the scripture about what he's been teaching, he could tell you. One Sunday, I didn't come into morning worship, and the other Sunday wasn't here, so I didn't know what he had been teaching on. But it went right along with what I'm talking about. And tonight, I just wanted to, I originally started the thought of that flavorless salt, the salt that didn't have no flavor to it and was of no use. And honestly, I'm trying my hand and cooking. I had some deer meat in the freezer yesterday, and I took it out to thaw out for Friday night so I could cook it Saturday, and I tried to season it. I'm trying to get my hands dirty and trying to learn how to cook, being getting married and all. I don't want my future wife to have to do all the cooking. But I was seasoning it up, and I steamed some vegetables on the grill, and I was trying to salt them down and pepper them down and try to season them right so they taste good. I tried to marinate that deer meat, and I thought it was going to be good, and I thought it was going to be tasty. It was tender. But when I cut into that meat and I cut into those vegetables and ate them, I realized that I did not put enough seasoning seasoning on them. Yet they were edible and yet they were good, but they just didn't have that right amount of salt to it. And I didn't put enough. Anybody that's ever salted anything down, you know, when you put too much, you think you hadn't put enough. When you hadn't put enough, you think you put too much. Vice versa. So it's hard that medium you got to try to find. But regardless, yesterday I did not put enough on there. And although my dad gobbled it up like it was just the best thing in the world, I couldn't eat but a little bit of it. But that is just one point to make. And today, when I was studying for this word and studying, trying to note some stuff down, I was sitting at Brother Derek's table, and I realized I didn't have enough light. So I went to find a light switch, and we're trying to see where so I could see this word, so I could see where I was reading. And then I realized one thing: when we walk into this world, and in a day-to-day walk, and just the simplicity of the carnality of in this church, if we shut all these lights off right now, we still have the light through the windows, but it wouldn't be the adequate light that we need. If we go to cook something, if we don't have a salt, that's one of the main ingredients in a lot of things today is the salt. And if we don't have the salt to do the right seasoning, that food is not going to be any good. Yes, it'll be edible, but it will not have that flavor that we wanted, that right flavor. So I got to thinking about that flavorless salt today, and I got to thinking about that dim light, and I got to thinking about how we as a church have degraded ourselves down to where we're not even good for seasoning, and we're not even good for showing somebody the way. And I've got to thinking about how the church world today, and I say church not as an abundant life, but the church world as the Pentecostals, as Bible believing Christians, how we have allowed things to come, and I'll get into it later, of how we've it's let things come in, and we've let things take the savor and that flavor of that salt, and we let things hide our light out, and we let things dim our light. We put that light under a bushel by the things we've allowed in our life and the things we've allowed in the church world. And today, since we've allowed those things in, it has become a dim light and this flavorless salt that we have nowadays. And you saying, how we have wonderful services? Yes, we've had wonderful services here. We've had wonderful revival services. Before I was officially a member, I've been here where the power of the Holy Ghost has failed. If we turn them, that light will go down. But I'm telling you tonight, we don't want that. I don't want that dim light. I want every light in this house. There's all. I go to do stuff at the house, and I'm flipping lights on here. I'm flipping lights on there. I got a light on in the spare room when I'm packing. I got a light on in my room. Got a light on in the bathroom. My mom, she's going behind me, flipping them off, trying to save that electricity bill. But I'm telling you, I want the light to shine. And if I could stress one thing tonight, is to realize the fact that if you look at the revival, and I know we quit talking about, you say, I want to quit talking about the days of old. I want to see it, so I can tell you one thing. If you're tired of talking about the days of old and you want to see a revival take place today, you need to get inside your heart and that determination to say that I'm sick of talking about the days of old. I'm sick of talking about A.A. Allen's experience. I want to experience it my own. You know how you're going to do that? You're going to get down on your knees. You're going to fast. You're going to pray. And you're going to have that determination in your heart to say that I'm going to get the flavor back in my salt. I'm going to get the brightness back in my light. And I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to talk about the days of old anymore, but I'm going to talk about the experience I had in my prayer closet. I'm not going to talk about the experience that my granddaddy had, although it was a wonderful experience. Her great testimony is how they could hear him praying in that cemetery. But one thing I've come to realize is that the same God that saturated my granddaddy LT with an anointing back in that graveyard behind his house where folks could hear him pray is the same God I serve today. Amen. And the only difference between him and me is that I've slacked off in my prayer life. I've slacked off in my reading. That God hasn't slacked off. The only one that has moved has been me. That salt has lost its savor. We've allowed things to come in. And if one thing is on my heart tonight, that I feel it, it's the lack of flavor, the lack of good salt, the lack of good light in churches we got nowadays. We say we're trying to bridge the gap between old time Pentecost and the new way we worship. You need to burn that bridge. There's one thing that burns my heart. It's hurting my heart and seeing the things. And I can blame it on pointing the finger right to me. I haven't been serious enough. Each of us can do it. See, we haven't been serious enough to put up a hedge to stop this stuff from coming in. We haven't been dedicated enough to pray, to seek God, to stop this stuff from coming in. It's only come in because we've allowed it. We don't do it here. But I'm saying, why haven't we produced anything that has been powerful enough for somebody to say, I don't want that. I don't want to go that way. But I want to go that way. I want to see that. But sure, they'll say we're seeing the power. We're shutting it down. We're having church nowadays. But I'm telling you, where are the miracles? Where are the people getting saved? Where are the people getting baptized? I love to shout just as much as anybody, but until you have tears of repentance down in the altar, until you have people saying out, getting baptized with the Holy Ghost, we ain't had no revival. We just had a service with a lot of shouting. Things that have lost its savor. The gifts for qualified men for the ministry. The gifts. You know why? Because they don't pray anymore like they should. They pray, but they don't seek God anymore. Let me put it that way. They fast a meal. They don't even fast that now. I'll fast my TV for 30 days. Bless God, we're going to shout it down next Sunday. Well, I'll fast Netflix and Hulu for 30 days. Ooh, man, I mean, revival's knocking on our door. How about that? What happened to the old time fasting? Where you'd lock yourself up, say, baby, if you're married, say, honey, I'm going to go in this closet. Don't cook me anything tonight, tomorrow night, the next night. Don't bother me unless emergencies happen, but I'm going to go in here. I'm going to get on my face before God. The gifts for qualified men for the ministry. Something else that has lost its savor. True biblical doctrine. Now we don't want to offend anybody because of what we're saying. We don't want to hurt nobody's feelings from our preaching. But I'm telling you, if we get anointed by the Holy Ghost and we teach true biblical doctrine and we preach the Bible, one thing about it, a new convert will either contour to it or they'll run away from it. There's been many a soul hurt by some church member opening their mouth before they should and not leaving it to the pastor. Not leaving it to the pastor to do the talking that they should. And not leaving it to right people to talk. But there's been many people who got saved at the church. And some holier-than-thou Christian has went to them and told them they didn't need to be wearing that next time they come into church, and they've never set foot back in the church doors again. I'm telling you, think you got the true biblical doctrine. You need to let the Word of God convict. You need to let the Word of God console. And you need to let the Word of God save and sanctify. And then that's not saying that the pastors will not go to and talk to when need be. I'm not saying that they don't need to do that. There is a time and a place for that. Clean conversation is something that's lost its flavor and its savor. How many times, you know, it's bad enough that the preachers, or that people, not even preachers, will get together and tell off-color jokes. But it's bad enough when the preachers get together and tell off-color jokes. Their conversations. Lord, clean mine up tonight. Clean it up. Number four, the zeal and affection for the preaching of the gospel. Where is the love and the excitement? Brother Derek talked about Brother Israel saying he had that preacher's itch that cannot be scratched. The man loves the preaching, the love to teach, but where is the zeal and the excitement about talking about God's word? Where is that zeal and that excitement about preaching about the holiness of God? Where is that zeal and excitement? I tell you where it is. It's lost its flavor and it's good for nothing. It needs to be trampled down because it is good for nothing. We get up here. We have a word. We say, we preach just to give them a message on a Sunday morning and a Sunday night. And we get them out the door just so we can go home, so we can get home before the game starts. There's no zeal and excitement. There's no excitement about going to church. This morning that opening scripture said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Where is that excitement about hearing the preaching of God's word? Where is that excitement in the pews from the member that said, preach to me, man. Preach to me, brother. Get me under conviction. Let me put me in the altars tonight. Give me that zeal and that excitement. Where is that saying, step on my toes tonight? Yes. Salt is only used to make things savory and to preserve from putrefaction. And when it's lost its ability to do it, to do that, it is no good to human or even to the beast of the field. I'm telling you, the gospel we're preaching nowadays is not even fit for an animal. And by no means, and I'm saying, the preaching we heard this morning and the preaching we've heard in this church is good. But what I'm saying, Brother Glenn, is we've come a long way. When you say when you first got saved and nowadays, you can see the decline in the churches. You can see the decline in the anointing. You can see the decline in the works of the miracles. You know why those men see miracles? Because they ate, they slept, they drank, they lived the gospel of Jesus Christ. That was their life. That is the reason why they were able to walk through people laying on stretchers and just point to them and say, arise, and saying, get up. And those folks were just like that, would arise and they would get up. That's why they would see limbs grow. And I heard a story about, I don't know what preacher it was, about somebody that was born without a foot and they wanted to buy a pair of shoes like a normal person. And so they went to the shoe store, and the preacher said, you go to the shoe store and you get the shoes you want. And so the person went and goes and gets them, and I believe puts the shoe on the foot. And there it was, there's a foot that grew inside that shoe. So that person was able to buy a pair of shoes like they wanted to. Why can't we see that again? It's because we have watered down the gospel, because we don't want to offend nobody. We have watered down the good old revival services to a shout. We don't want to see that power of the Holy Ghost come down no more. We don't want to offend nobody. Our salt is lost its flavor and its savor, and our light has become dim. If seasoning has lost its flavor, and I can attest to this by my cooking, dear God help me. I texted Deanna, I texted her earlier before I was cooking, I said, I need you here, I need you to be my guinea pig. She said, I'm glad I ain't there. And then I texted back after I ate, I said, it's a good thing you weren't here. But if seasoning has lost its flavor, it has no value. None. Anybody ever picked up something that's been out of date, you didn't know, you get into your spice cabinet and you smell it and you check the damage, but it's no good. It's no good. This gospel that we're preaching, this thing that we're portraying, that we can do it this way and still make it to heaven. The things that we're telling folks, the things we say of revival, it's no good. Like I said before, I love to shout. I love to cry. And I'm just as guilty as anybody. Why can't we, at Abundant Life, see somebody walk in those doors that maybe has cancer, that the men of the church, the preachers, can come around and lay hands on that man or that woman? See that woman, that person healed. Why can't we see a person maybe without a limb coming back and believe? I know God can't grow a limb. It's been done before. Because through the years, slowly but surely, there's been a decline in the preaching, and there's been a decline in the flavor of the salt we're producing.
Along on the side of a valley towards Gibeah, there's a small precipice about 2 men's length. Occasion, I've read this from a commentary. And I was hoping Brother Shane wouldn't have touched on this or read it, because I was like, man, if he reads the same commentary as I have, to be sure he's going to touch on this. He did just a little bit, but he didn't read my story. He said about two men's length, occasioned by the continual taking away of the salt. And in this, you may see the veins of it lie. I broke a piece of it off. A piece that was exposed to the rain, the sun, and the air. And though it had the sparks and the particles of salt, it had perfectly lost its savor. We look at the church world nowadays, and I know it's slow tonight, but I'm going to tell you just to bear with me. We look at the church nowadays, and yes, it's got the sparkle. Yes, it's got the looks. But if you get right down to it, it hasn't got the flavor. We come in here Sunday to Sunday. Churches all across America. We got to dress to the T. We got the tie just right. We got the sleeves the right length. But I'm telling you, we got the right look down, but we haven't got the flavor. And if there's one thing we need back in the church world nowadays, it's the flavor of that salt. It's the power of God. And if we want to see it, Brother Shane and Brother Glenn, we as the ministers of this church are going to have, along with Brother Derek and the elders of the church, we're going to have to get down in these prayer meetings. We're going to have to get down in our homes. And we're going to have to get business with God, saying, God, we want to see the miracles. We're going to want to see things happen. We want to see things take place. We're going to have to get serious with God tonight. This is the part I like. But the inner part, the part still connected to the rock, retained its savor. Church, Abundant Life Tabernacle, if we stay connected to that rock called Christ Jesus, if we stay connected to the gospel, if we stay connected to the Christ, if we stay connected to the cross, if we stay connected to the blood of Jesus, if we stay connected to that Bible and to the word of the living God, we will retain our savor. So I pray tonight that we stay connected through our prayer, through our fasting, through our reading, that we may have that flavor of that good salt, something that is worth savoring, something that is worth preserving. I'm telling you, if there's a sinner that comes in here, we need to have a gospel that's saying we preach the blood of Jesus Christ that can preserve you, that can save you, that can keep you from sin.
Amen. Yes.
John 8:12 said, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. We are to be an illuminating light to this dark world. If we stay dark ourselves, what kind of difference it is if we go walk into a dark world? If we don't pray for the light of God to shine in our life, if we don't seek God for the bright light of His salvation and His gospel to shine through our life, what good are we to those that are out there that are addicted to drugs, that are addicted to pornography? What good are we to those that are out there walking the street corners and selling their bodies to make money, to make ends meet? What good are we if we don't have the light of Christ shining in our life? What good are we to those out there that are seeking the light? Who are they going to hear it from? What the sun and the moon are to the heavens, we are to be to this world. Not only professing Christ, we could say it all day long, I'm a Christian. A lot of folks out there, I mean, it's a big epidemic nowadays, Brother Glenn. Everybody is saved. And they say the hardest person to get saved is one that thinks he's already saved. That's the big dilemma we're facing nowadays. You say, well, everybody's saved. I tell you how you can get them saved and tell them they're not saved. You show them what the difference in a saved person is and what a sinner is. Show them that you have the light, that you have the salt. And they're going to say, there's something different about him. He's got a different salvation than I got. And I'm telling you, if you live the true life, if you live that true life of God, folks will be able to tell. Folks will be able to know that something's different about you. He lives a different life than what people at my church live. And the funny thing is to say they're saved only attend church on Easter and Christmas. Dear God in heaven. Not only professing Christ, but illuminating from his light that has been shed on us. We are to be a reflection of what God shines. Reflecting the true gospel of Jesus Christ. When we reflect that, those people out there will see it. And they'll know that that light is different. They'll know that that light is the light I need. When Christ's light hits us, we'll never be the same. It will change us. It will transform how we see things. And it will show us the path that we're walking can be dangerous. You take this when it gets dark and there's no light shining through those windows right there, and you flip all these lights off and you leave one in that vestibule on. You'll be able to see a little bit. But it will, when you flip all these lights, it's going to transform how you see this sanctuary. Very simple illustration, but I know. You'll be able to see enough probably to walk up here to this platform. But you'll be treading softly. When that all these lights are on, you can walk up to the stage with confidence, knowing that I ain't going to step on nothing. I ain't going to bang my knee on nothing. It'll transform how we see things. That true light, that bright light of Christ. Very famous light, Acts 9 and verses 1 through 15 on Damascus Road. Verse 3, he said, a light shined from heaven. Verse 4, this is what a part I like. That light was so bright, so heavenly, that when it shined from heaven, he had no choice but to fall to his knees. Verse 6, he trembled and was astonished. This light that we're showing nowadays ain't even got enough power, like my pastor says, to knock a flea off a peach. Ain't got enough light to scare nobody. But I'm telling you, the true church nowadays needs that light of Christ that'll shine bright. Oh, yes. It needs that light of Christ that has that power, that when a sinner comes into the church, that light of Christ is shining so bright that they have no choice but to fall to their knees at an old-fashioned altar and say, I see the light now, I see the light. Jesus, will you come and save me? Because this light is different from any light I've seen. This has the power. This has the salvation. This has the sanctification. That light of Jesus Christ is shining upon me. Yes. Astonished at the light. We will be astonished if the true light of Christ shines. Verse 9, he spent 3 days without sight, food, and water. Verse 15, the Lord told Ananias that Saul was a chosen vessel. That light of Christ, you see what that one light did? Changed him. He spent 3 days. What God was saying to him, I don't know. Maybe he was preparing him. Maybe he was just speaking to him. Spent him 3 days without food and water and sight where he couldn't see what was going on around him. Wasn't nothing but him and Jesus. That great ministry started with a light. Who knows the lives we can help if we'll just be a light? Who knows the lives we can help if we just be that salt? Philippians 2, 14 and 16. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. In this world that has watered down the gospel, that has took this gospel out back and just ruined it, that has took this light and dimmed it, I'll never for the life of me wonder why in the world we as churches have got to have dark stages. Why? You tell me, explain to me why. One preacher said their stages are dark because their deeds are dark. I don't know about you, but I want the light of God to shine. In this midst of this crooked and perverse generation that we're living in, Brother Shane, Brother Glenn, in the midst of this generation that has watered down the gospel, we can be a light. And I say those because they're the minister to anybody. The elders of the church, ladies, you can be a light in the world that you're living in your workplace, in your job. You can be that salt that somebody needs to savor their life and to preserve it from ruining it. You can be that light to show them the way that, hey, the road that you're walking down can be dangerous and can be crooked, but I got a God that can show you the correct way that you need to go. Yes. You can be that light. John 14, as somebody comes to the piano. John 15. verses 4 through 6. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. We cannot produce a flavorful salt if we're disconnected from the rock. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Without me you can't do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them in the fire, and they are burned. That's where it saith the salt has lost its flavor. It is good for nothing but to be trodden under, thrown away. It's not even good to feed to the animals. I'm telling you, if we want to see a miracle, if we want to see miracles, we're going to lose some friends. And I'm not one to run my mouth and start a ruckus, especially on social media. But if I'm asked, I've done made my mind up, I'm going to make a stand. Brother Shane, well, I will lose some friends if we make a stand. I'll tell you, this is really on my heart. We're going to have to stand. We're not going to be able to go way some of folks are going. We're not going to be able to stand the way some are going. The gospel that my grandmother lived, and my granddaddy founded that church on, the gospel that my Nana loved to the day she had her right mind, she carried one thing for sure she had was her Bible, that her mother's original to me. The gospel she believed, the gospel she lived, it's good enough for me. Some may call it old fashioned. That's fine. Old stuff works better than new stuff any day. They play softly. Ask everybody to come and stand around this church. If you feel comfortable, amen, on one side, one on the other, or however you want to do it, that don't matter to me. But we're going to stand and we're going to unify as a church tonight. And this is going to be our altar call. So I ask you, while we're praying, to search yourself and say, what in me? What in me is draining the flavor from the salt in this church? Or the church body? What in me is dimming the light? What in me is causing the light not to shine as bright as it could? What in me is keeping somebody from getting healed? He says he's got his friends the size of a grain of mustard seed. Not a mustard seed, but the grain of mustard. True faith. True, unwavering faith. I believe God can heal cancer. He does it all. I believe God can heal blood clots. He's done that to my dad. I believe it. I know God can. There's not a doubt in my mind. But somewhere, there has got to be a little grain of unbelief somewhere in my body that I can't see somebody healed. Raised from the dead. Old brother G.C. Roper started a church, and one of his members, just a new church, had died and passed away. Brother, he went to the morgue. He was already toe-tagged and everything. They slid him out. All he said was, God, you know I need this man. an unbelief somewhere in my body. I'm going to ask Brother Shane to lead us. But we're all going to join in and pray with him. And believe God that tonight is a changing point for Abundant Life Tabernacle. And say from now on, when we enter those doors, we're going to have a belief in our body. We're going to have that unwavering faith that if any sinner walks off those streets, you know, in this area, it's a good possibility anytime these church doors are open that somebody addicted to drugs could walk in. Somebody addicted to pornography could walk in. Somebody that has an addiction that the hospitals can't help. It's a good possibility to walk through those doors. But we in Abundant Life Tabernacle need to be ready. We need to have that salt. We need to have that light that's bright. We need to have that salt that's flavorful. As we follow him in prayer, Brother Shane, lead us.
Father, we thank you, Lord, for all that you've done.
Jesus, we love you.
Lord, we thank you for the opportunity we have.